3, 2, 1.
Welcome to It's Fabulous!
True personal stories.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And that means, of course, it's time for another edition of Exfabula Radio on Lake Effect Weekend on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Rachel Owens, joined by Exfabula co-founder Leah Delaney. Good afternoon.
Hiya, how's it going?
It's going well. I just can't get enough of this weather.
Oh, I know. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's actually, this whole summer has been really wonderful as far as I'm concerned. And it's just keeping it going. So, you know, all those kids who are in school right now can sit there and just gaze out the window and see all the sunshine and daydream about their summer activities. But sorry, guys, you're back in school.
It's good to be an adult sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, for sure. So today, I'm sure the theme has been exposed at this point. We are focusing on our teachers in school. I did bring a couple of stories today from people who had personal teaching experiences. So let's start out today's show with a story from our belonging event. This story is from Elena Olson Valdez.
Okay, so I'm originally from Madison, and over the summer I work with a summer school program. I'm not a summer school teacher, I just work in what would be after school during summer school. So it's 3 hours of the day, and we're with like a group of 10 to 15 second and third graders, for me at least. And I love it. I've done it for 3 years. It's a different experience every time. But this story is about belonging, I realized, because I wasn't sure what that meant. I knew, like, I know the definition of belonging, but when it came to thinking of a story, no story came to mind until I started listening to what people were saying and thinking about, well, what does rejection mean in terms of what does belonging mean? So the story qualifies. So my second year, I worked at this really big site, Sandberg Elementary School. There were a lot of kids, and it was really fun. And the first day, I remember we came in, and I was really excited. And we had brought the kids in from recess, and we were setting up the expectations and everything. So they were going to come in, and it was going to be nice, and they were going to sit in the circle and, you know, listen to what we had to say, I thought. And there are these two boys who came in, and I just watched the way that they walked in, and it was just like, I knew that they owned the room, you know, you could just feel that. And they walked in, and Chad, that's who this story is really about, came in, and he knocked, took his hand, and he just knocked this whole box of markers and crayons and everything. It wasn't mine, it was the teacher's whose classroom it was, knocked it right off the shelf. And I'm like smiling, you know, because I still have these other 12 kids who are doing pretty okay. And he's, you know, making a scene and everything. And I'm like, oh, Chad, you know, I didn't say it like that. I did not say it like that. But it's like, I gave him an option because that's really helpful for kids sometimes to give them an option, you know, like, well, I can clean it up and you can leave the room, or you can clean it up and decide where it's supposed to go. So that was my first introduction to Chad. Later in that week, it's really fun because you get to, you learn about the students and you're learning what makes, or what is important to the individuals and what they like to do and how you can change the activities to make it important to them. You know, because not all kids like art and not all kids like going outside, and so you have to find that medium when you're playing kickball and there's, you know, three kids who are like, I don't want to play, this is stupid. So we were doing kites. It was like the third day in. And Chad was at his own table. He's a really smart kid, but didn't really want to do the art portion of it. And it's hard, you know, you have to take those, they're like wooden sticks, and then there's a piece of paper, and you have to tie it on there and everything. And I don't know, it was a really bad project, but we were doing it, and you can't just like give up. You have to try something. So everybody's trying something, and I'm really proud of them. They're doing a really great job, and Chad especially is, you know, I don't really want to do this, and he didn't say it like that either, trust me. And so he's working at his table, and I'm being really encouraging because I find that I really like this kid, and I want him to do well and enjoy what he's doing. So, you know, I'm kind of keeping my eye out in all directions, making sure that I'm seeing everything, And I hear these other boys, and they're not really on task. And so I go over there, and they're drawing, but on their kites, because they're supposed to be drawing what they want. And they've drawn these women wearing basically nothing. And I kind of get into this, like, feminist rant, like, you can't do this. And I'm like, you can't do this. You're talking to second graders. Like, how can you put this into words? And so while this chaos is going on in this corner of the room, I realize in this corner of the room where Chad is, it's going nuts too. And it's because he's going, And I had a co-leader, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, Pahoa, who is going, Chad, can you stop? Chad, 3, 2, 1. And I'm like, I don't know what to do either. Like, I don't know, 3, 2, 1. I'm like, Chad. And so I just look at him and I go, And I match his pitch. And then I hold up my fingers while I'm going, And we cut out at the same time. And it was beautiful. And we belonged.
And that story was from Elena Olson Valdez.
I feel like I've used that technique once or twice.
The screaming versus screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny how, like, animalistic we become when we feel challenged as human beings. And, you know, some colors will be exposed at that point, I guess.
Just got to do what you got to do. So.
Yep. Yeah. It's like a survival technique. So we are in our season 10. This past week, we had our very first Story Slam of season 10. It was at Garfield's 502, and the theme was generations. And this was actually the first time we ever had a Story Slam on a Friday night.
Ooh.
We're bringing the date night to you with Exfabula on Friday nights now.
Friday Night Lights, a whole new meaning,
yeah, exactly. Of course, we still have them sprinkled on the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but this was so much fun to have that option. We also have new venues we're going to this year, some super secret surprises with Secret Fabulas, and we're just elated. I mean, 10 years. 10 years.
Ah, congratulations. And it does feel like it's been a long summer, a long wait for the new season to begin. So we're ready for that as well.
Well, great. Yeah, we're here for you, Milwaukee. So let's just bring it back to our next story. This one is from Jen Hepner, who told this particular story at one of our fellowship events where the theme was embracing cultural diversity.
I've spent a lot of time in educational settings throughout the years. I was a preschool teacher for many years. And then I went to UW-Madison and learned how to become a teacher, elementary school teacher, and I had site visits, and I was an assistant teacher, and then I was a teacher in my own classroom. And I remember a lot of these settings where one of the goals was to embrace cultural diversity. And you would walk into the school, and there would be flags of many different nations up on the walls, and that was good to see. And then they're in the books, like in the kindergarten classroom, you could see the faces of many different types of ethnicities and different languages, and people celebrated Chinese New Year and Dia de los Muertos and Black History Month. And, you know, it was like, okay, this is a good start. I did then experience many things that let me know that that was only a start, however, in the schools. One of the biggest things that I remember that let me know that that was only a start was an incident where I was an assistant teacher at a kindergarten. The teacher and I found out someone had peed all over in the boys' bathroom, and it was just a mess. And she was adamant that she wanted to find out who it was and make that student clean up the mess. And so we discovered that there was one boy who had been seen coming out of the bathroom about the time that we thought the incident had occurred, and she started to question him. And during her questioning, she's looking at him in the face, and he's looking to the left, and he's looking to the right, and he's looking up, and she stopped questioning him and started getting on him about making eye contact with her. You look at me when I'm talking to you. And he still was looking everywhere but in her face, and she actually took his chin and turned it so that his face was right in her face. You don't. And she just kept going on and on about it. And I had this gut-wrenching feeling in my stomach that something really awful was happening there. And I had a flashback to my time when I was in the Peace Corps in West Africa. And during our cultural training, we were taught that in the culture we were about to work in, it was considered very disrespectful to look at someone of authority in the eyes. So that if we met someone who looked like they might be older than us, or a government official, or someone of authority, we should avert our gaze. Which for me was hard because I was always taught you look at someone in the eyes to show respect. And I just thought, it could be that this is happening between the child and the teacher right now. I don't know. But the teacher was a white, middle-class female, and the student was a young Asian-American male. And I just thought, I don't know a lot about Asian culture, but it could be that this is happening. So I stepped in, and I just said to the teacher, I think we might just be having a misunderstanding right now, and maybe we could wait and talk to this child's parents when they come to pick him up. And she took a deep breath and she stepped back and she was still pissed, but she said, okay, we'll wait. And sure enough, when we talked to the student's parents, we found out that in fact, he would have been in big trouble if his parents had found out that he had looked at the teacher in the eye during that scenario. In fact, it would have been the height of rudeness for him to do so. So he was really trying to be respectful and probably very scared and confused as to why was she saying, look at me in the eyes. And what it had never occurred to the teacher that there could possibly be, it could possibly ever be disrespectful for him to look at her. It never occurred to her. So she misinterpreted him as being rude, not obeying, maybe not even very smart because he couldn't understand what she was saying. I'm sure he was interpreting her as a scary person, picking on him, mean, or whatever. So I had a number of these incidences. There were so many differences and misunderstandings with respect to what's the appropriate volume level? What's the appropriate way to issue a command? Is it okay to ask a question when you're issuing a command or not? Is it okay for multiple people to be talking at the same time? Or do you take turns and speak one at a time? So when I finally had my classroom, what I did is I sat down in a circle with all my students, and I just made this kind of stuff open, and we just talked about it. And I would say something like, now, in my culture, a lot of white middle-class women, when we're telling you what to do, and I'm the teacher and I will be telling you what to do, I might phrase it in a question like, Johnny, is that where the scissors go? Now, I'm not asking you, is that where the scissors go? Because I don't know, and I want you to tell me. I'm telling you to put the scissors away. And so then we'd go around the room, and the kids would educate me and each other on how you tell someone what to do. And do you expect eye contact? And all of these things so that at least we had an understanding of each other, and maybe that would decrease the types of misunderstandings that could occur. Thank you.
And that was Jen Heppner with her experience teaching and such. You know, I have to say, I honestly feel that every position, every job, every vocation that you could be in needs cultural diversity training. I mean, I just feel like this should be like the new MO for everybody.
Yeah, because you can't get away from it in the world these days.
Right.
We are a melting pot no matter where you are, and it's a beautiful thing. So why not embrace it and celebrate it?
Right. I mean, we're aware now. Let's do something about it.
Right.
You know? So that was Jen Heppner and Elena Olson-Valdez with their stories for today's teacher episode.
And of course, there's more Exfabula events coming because you've just started the new season.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. We have a general public storytelling workshop if you, Milwaukee, would like to hone up your storytelling skills. It's going to be at 6 p.m. on Monday, September 17th at AWE, which is Artists Working in Education on Valete Street. You can get your tickets You can get everything storytelling related, including tickets to our next Story Slam, and find out more about our storytelling workshops at xfabula.org.
Thanks for getting the new season off to a great start.
Yay.
Here, Leah, and we look forward to more stories next week.
I want to just do a quick shout-out thank you to Milwaukee. Here we are. Let's get these stories rolling. Yay, season 10.
Woo-hoo. All right. Enjoy the beautiful weather this weekend.
Thanks, you too.